Was her name Jane Marsh? I forgot.
Perhaps you've forgotten also that you undertook to cure her with Koch's tuberculin.
And instead of curing her, it rotted her arm right off. Yes, I remember. Poor Jane. However, she makes a good living out of that arm now by showing it at medical lectures.
Still, that wasn't quite what you intended, was it?
I took my chance of it.
Jane did, you mean?
Well, it's always the patient who has to take the chance when an experiment is necessary. And we can find out nothing without experiment.
What did you find out from Jane's case?
I found out that the inoculation that ought to cure sometimes kills.
I could have told you that. I've tried these modern inoculations a bit myself. I've killed people with them, and I've cured people with them. But I gave them up because I never could tell which I was going to do.
Ridgeon takes a pamphlet from a drawer in the writing table and hands it to Sir Patrick.
Read that the next time you have an hour to spare, and you'll find out why.
Sir Patrick fumbles for his spectacles.
Oh, bother your pamphlet. What's the practice of it? Opsonin? What the devil is opsonin?
Opsonin is what you butter the diseased germs with to make your white blood corpuscles eat them.
That's not new. I've heard this notion that the white corpuscles... What's his name? Metchnikoff calls them.
Phagocytes.
Aye? Phagocytes, yes. Yes. Well, I heard this theory that the phagocytes eat up the diseased germs years ago. Long before you came into fashion. Besides, they don't always eat them.
They do when you butter them with opsonin.
Gammon.
No, it's not gammon. What it comes to in practice is this. The phagocytes won't eat the microbes unless the microbes are nicely buttered for them. Well, the patient manufactures the butter for himself, all right. But my discovery is that the manufacture of that butter, which I call opsonin, goes on in the system by ups and downs, nature being always rhythmical, you know, and that what the inoculation does is to stimulate the ups or downs, as the case may be. If we had inoculated Jane Marsh when her butter factory was on the upgrade, we should have cured her arm. But we got in on the downgrade and lost her arm for her. I call the upgrade the positive phase and the downgrade the negative phase. Everything depends on your inoculating at the right moment. Inoculate when the patient is in the negative phase and you kill. Inoculate when the patient is in the positive phase, and you cure.
And pray, how are you to know whether the patient is in the positive or the negative phase?
Send a drop of the patient's blood to the laboratory at St. Anne's, and in 15 minutes, I'll give you his opsonin index in figures. If the figure is 1, inoculate and cure. If it's under 0.8, inoculate and kill. That's my discovery. The most important that has been made since Harvey discovered the circulation of the blood. My tuberculosis patients don't die now.
And mine do when my inoculation catches them in the negative phase, as you call it, eh?
Precisely. To inject a vaccine into a patient without first testing his opsonin is as near murder as a respectable practitioner can get. If I wanted to kill a man, I should kill him that way.
Emmy enters.
Will you see a lady that wants her husband's lungs cured?
No. Haven't I told you I will see nobody? I live in a state of siege ever since it got about that I'm a magician who can cure consumption with a drop of serum. Emmy, don't come to me again about people who have no appointments. I tell you I can see nobody.
Well, I'll tell her to wait.
You'll tell her I can't see her and send her away, do you hear?
Well, will you see Mr. Cutler Walpole? He don't want a cure. He only wants to congratulate you.
Of course. Show him up.
Emmy turns to go.
Emmy, stop. Ask Mr. Walpole to wait just 2 minutes while I finish a consultation. I want 2 minutes more with you, Patty, between ourselves.
Oh, he'll wait all right. He's talking to the poor lady.
Emmy goes out.
Well, what is it?
Don't laugh at me. I want your advice.
Professional advice?
Yes. There's something the matter with me. I don't know what it is.
Neither do I. I suppose you've been sounded.
Yes, of course. There's nothing wrong with any of the organs. Nothing special, anyhow. But I have a curious aching. I don't know where. I can't localize it. Sometimes I think it's my heart. Sometimes I suspect my spine. It doesn't actually hurt me, but it unsettles me completely. I feel that something is going to happen. And there are other symptoms. Scraps of tunes come into my head that seem to me very pretty, though they're quite commonplace.
Do you hear voices?
No.
Oh, I'm glad of that. When my patients tell me that they've made a greater discovery than Harvey and that they hear voices, I lock them up.
You think I'm mad? Oh, that's just a suspicion that has come across me once or twice. Tell me the truth. I can bear it.
You're sure there are no voices?
Quite sure.
Then it's only foolishness.
Have you ever met anything like it before in your practice?
Oh, yes. Often. It's very common between the ages of 17 and 22. It sometimes comes on again at 40 or thereabouts. You're a bachelor, you see. It's not serious if you're careful.
About my food?
No, about your behavior. There's nothing wrong with your spine, and there's nothing wrong with your heart. But there's something wrong with your common sense. You're not going to die, but you may be going to make a fool of yourself, so be careful.
I see you don't believe in my discovery. Well, sometimes I don't believe in it myself. Thank you all the same. Shall we have Walpole up?
Oh, have him up.
Ridgeon rings.
He's a clever operator, is Walpole, although he's only one of your chloroform surgeons. In my early days, you made a man drunk. And the porters and students held him down, and you had to set your teeth and finish the job fast. Nowadays, you work at your ease, and the pain doesn't come until afterwards, when you've taken your check and rolled up your bag and left the house. I tell you, Collie, chloroform has done a lot of mischief. It's enabled every fool to be a surgeon.
Emmy appears in answer to the bell.
Show Mr. Walpole up.
He's talking to the lady.
Did I not tell you?
Emmy goes out without heeding him. Ridgeon gives it up with a shrug and plants himself with his back to the console, leaning resignedly against it.
I know your Cutler Walpoles and their like. They've found out that a man's body is full of bits and scraps of old organs he has no mortal use for. Thanks to chloroform, you can cut half a dozen of them out without leaving him any the worse. Except for the illness and the guineas it costs him. I knew the Walpoles well 15 years ago. The father used to snip off the ends of people's uvulas for 50 guineas and paint throats with caustic every day for a year at 2 guineas a time. His brother-in-law extirpated tonsils for 200 guineas until he took up women's cases at double the fees. Cutler himself worked hard at anatomy to find something fresh to operate on, and at last he got hold of something he calls the nuciform sac, which he's made quite the fashion. People pay him 500 guineas to cut it out. They might as well get their hair cut for all the difference it makes, but I suppose they feel important. You can't go out to dinner now without your neighbor bragging to you of some useless operation or other.
Emmy enters.